I was thinking what a cheerful passage this was. Let's remember that we're looking at the words that Jesus spoke to his disciples, and that as his disciples, he's speaking to us too. So we need to take them seriously. In the last two or three generations, we've not experienced persecution, certainly here in the UK, but that perhaps should be our expectation as Christians. And the question is whether we're prepared for that. So let's pray. Father God, in the face of all the world's turmoil, we need to hear again your words coming to us through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Help us to remember that as Christ, he is our Saviour, the one who has redeemed us. That in the knowledge of his resurrection, our lives are secure. We have a place in your kingdom and in the new creation. Help us to live our lives with confidence in the authority you have given us, that your words are trustworthy and true. Give us the grace to act in that confidence and to be fearless in the face of any opposition. Help us to surrender to your lordship and rule over every aspect of our lives, so that we can stand firm in the faith you have set before us. In Jesus' name. Amen. So here in Matthew 10, as we just have another week of looking at all that Jesus said and did, we find Jesus sending out the disciples in twos. What might you say have these instructions got to do with us, apart from the advice to work in pairs? And I think yesterday afternoon a number of you went out in pairs, didn't you, knocking on doors. And it's so much easier to go with someone else. We don't get a subsequent report from Matthew of all the trouble they got into, although history is clear that trouble came. And Luke records the stoning to death of Stephen in early Acts. But what we do have, first of all, is a warning that was taken note of. Be aware, or be on your guard. Jesus empowers his disciples so that in the midst of opposition, the opportunity for testimony will be significant, and that they don't have to rely on human strength. The humbling realization that we all need to come to is found at the beginning of this section. We are like sheep. Sheep are defenseless and vulnerable. You might think Jesus would say, as sheep, we need to stay in the safety of the fold. But he sends us out powerless in our own strength among predators. Hang on a minute, is he not supposed to be the good shepherd? So what's he doing here? Well, maybe the limits of the metaphor are being reached. Perhaps not. Maybe we're meant to see that as sheep, we possess another quality that real sheep don't have. That is, we no longer belong to this world, but we already have the power of an indestructible life. Christ in us. Let's see why it was that the disciples are told to be on their guard. What are the disciples sent out to do? Verse 7. Preach, the kingdom of heaven is near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, and drive out demons. What on earth about this, you might think, would the disciples need to be on their guard about? Surely this loving kindness would be welcome, this demonstration of God's love for the people around them. And the answer is found in Paul's letter to the Ephesians in chapter 6 and verse 2. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. You see, the people Jesus sends out his disciples to include the marginalized in the society. They're held in their poverty, both material and spiritual, by ruling powers of darkness. The life, health, and liberty that disciples bring in the name of Jesus challenges the authorities. It upsets the status quo. It brings restorative justice, and that provokes a reaction. This loving kindness of God has been sucked out of the experience of the people and become the exclusive domain of the religious, who are under the misapprehension that they can control it. Being on your guard is to remind us that it's not simply people that we're dealing with, but with principalities and powers, evil forces that are at work in the world. Being on your guard doesn't mean that we are silent witnesses, though many of us may wish we could be. But Jesus is saying, be wise. Wisdom will lead some to be witnesses to very significant leaders, governors, and kings. But remember too that whoever you are and wherever you go, you are a witness, whether you speak or not. The question remains, what kind of witness are you? The upside of the promised persecution is this witness to those in positions of authority. Once again, it's not with clever words, but Jesus promises that God will empower his disciples to speak his message to rulers and those in authority. But it doesn't end there. And maybe this is the biggest challenge for us. Younger and older generations alike will find that those members of their own family will find the gospel offensive and reject them on account of Jesus. Christians who stand by principle can expect, as children, to be offended by their parents, and parents to be offended by their children. And in many cultures today, this demands an incomparably high allegiance to Jesus Christ, because it will mean the breakup of families. Living in obedience to Jesus is not open for compromise. Is this a price we're willing to pay? Jesus said it would happen, and it does, even today. Romans 1:5 tells us, obedience comes from faith. So true faith in Jesus will result in obedience. And that may mean division, even in our own families. Verse 23, when you are persecuted in one town, flee to the next. In the Middle East today, communities of Christians who've been following Christ since the early centuries are literally fleeing from one place to the next, just as Jesus said they would do here in Matthew. Unless we get complacent and think we're immune, Jesus tells us that this will be the case until he returns. I tell you the truth, the Son of Man will return before you have reached all the towns of Israel. So it is important that we pray, that we're equipped with truth, that we understand Jesus' demands of his disciples, lest we too fall away and betray him. So we take upon ourselves the armor of God, which speaks to us about how we must be equipped. with a helmet of salvation, a breastplate of righteousness, a belt of truth, feet shod with the readiness of the gospel, and holding firmly the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. This is about knowing who we are in Christ and having the confidence to stand in the face of any opposition. May God grant us obedience and a true faith. Amen.